From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. For the Veterans Day holiday, we explore the opportunities and challenges veterans face in finding work in the private sector upon their departure from military service. With 1.5 million veterans, Florida is home to the third largest population of vets in the country. We take a closer look at local efforts to increase the veteran employment rate in a state that bills itself as the most veteran-friendly in the nation. Plus, a conversation with the South Florida Water Management District's new executive director. Attorney Pete Antonacci now heads a vast organization responsible for the state's water across 16 counties. He came in after a summer where the board defied state political goals before reversing course. We're also joined by the district's governing board member, Mitch Hutchcraft. We'll talk about his past work, goals for the district, and the events leading up to his appointment. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Florida water policy, conservation, and water resource management are year-round cogent issues. We sit down with the South Florida Water Management District's new executive director, attorney Pete Antonacci, along with district governing board member Mitch Hutchcraft, for a look at leadership in the state's largest and oldest water management district and goals for the future. WGCU's Topher Forges has that conversation later this hour. But first, for the Veterans Day holiday, we explore the opportunities and challenges veterans face in finding work in the private sector upon their departure from military service. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, some 573,000 veterans currently struggle with unemployment around the nation. With 1.5 million veterans, Florida is home to the third largest population of vets in the country. For the week of this Veterans Day holiday, state officials are focusing specifically on issues related to veteran unemployment and helping link veterans with job opportunities. The Florida Department of Economic Opportunity is partnering with the State Department of Veterans Affairs, the Florida National Guard, and CareerSource Southwest Florida centers around the state to host a network of hiring events for veterans. Locally, CareerSource Southwest Florida will be participating in the statewide Paychecks for Patriots program for the third year, including employment workshops and a job fair for veterans on Thursday, November 12th. Earlier this week, I caught up with Doug Duckett. He's an employment security representative and a disabled veterans outreach program specialist with CareerSource Southwest Florida through the State Department of Economic Opportunity. He's also a U.S. Army veteran himself. We also spoke with Jim Wall. He's communications director for CareerSource Southwest Florida. Let's hear that conversation now. First of all, just tell us about what's going on this week with CareerSource Southwest Florida and other CareerSource Florida regions focused specifically on addressing veteran employment.
Sure, I'd be happy to, John, and thanks for having us. The statewide initiative was initiated by Governor Scott, so each of the 24 regions throughout Florida will be hosting what is called the Paycheck for Patriots, and again, as the economy starts to improve, we want to remember those that have served honorably for us. And if I could, I'd like to turn it over to Doug Duckett, who is coordinating our local effort.
Absolutely. Doug, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Thank you, John. When we got the notification about a month and a half ago in reference to this, we turned around and, as a team, developed a concept for this week's events. The Paychecks for Patriots events is being held throughout 24 regions in the state of Florida throughout the entire week. What we decided to do here at the CareerSource Southwest Florida in Fort Myers was this week, today, actually, we held a resume class geared toward veterans and their specific issues. For example, transferring military jargon, so to speak, into civilian jargon so that their resumes make them more appealing to an employer. That's in preparation for Thursday's event, which is the highlight of the entire week. That's the hiring and service event. What we've decided to do is maximize our space here, and we've invited employers and service providers to come into the center and bring everybody under one roof. Because one of the problems we face is veterans that have significant barriers to employment. And this can range from long-term unemployability, lack of training, it could be homelessness, a number of things. And trying to get them from over, or trying to get them over those barriers to employment, through those barriers to employment to career successfulness. So the concept was to turn around and bring the service providers that help overcome some of those barriers and the employers and the veterans under one roof at one time, so they could network, get the information they need, and more importantly, get hired.
And in regards to Thursday's hiring event, you know, I've seen a list of the employers who are going to be represented. It seems to be across the spectrum. It's not just like one type of business or industry that's going to be represented.
That is correct. We didn't want to focus just on, say, construction. Generally speaking, in Lee County, the average age of the veteran is over 50 years old. So when we're sitting there going through that, we took a strong look at those semi-retired veterans, those ones that don't want to lift that barge and tote that bale, that want to bring their brain power versus their muscle power to work. But keeping that in mind, we also wanted to focus on the other industries, healthcare and information technology, customer service, some of those things in which the younger veterans that are coming out of the service have been going to school, earning degrees, and trying to bring those younger veterans into or come bring them face-to-face with the employers that utilize the more modern approach, if you understand what I'm saying.
Sure, sure. And what about the service providers that are going to be there as well, organizations like the Florida Department of Veteran Affairs, the Red Cross, which I know has heavily been involved in efforts to house homeless veterans? It really seems to be a kind of all-encompassing, not just about jobs, but addressing perhaps other issues that veterans might be facing.
I'm glad you asked that, because that really has to do with the significant barriers to employment that we, you know, that I mentioned earlier. We call them SBEs for short. The American Red Cross helping with the homelessness, helping place not only just veterans but people into suitable housing. I've got the Department of Veteran Affairs, VRND, that's Vocational Rehabilitation and Education. Miss Jane Baboltz is coming out here for that, to bring veterans aware of that, and that if they don't have, if they don't want to utilize or don't have 9/11 GI Bill capability, they got a 30% or greater, that may qualify for this type of educational program. The Veterans Center for Lee County, they're coming out, or for the VA's Veterans Center, deals with post-traumatic stress disorders, other traumatic disorders, counseling. The FDVA, the Florida Department of Veteran Affairs, helps with doing case filing, your VA disabilities, Goodwill Industry, which is a big service provider in our area for job links and some of the other things. So, yeah, we really wanted to make sure that we brought a good mix of service providers to the area for those veterans that may need to seek those services.
And, of course, Veterans Day creates a great peg to really focus on veteran employment, but this is really something that you do on a year-round basis. What other types of services are available through you and CareerSource Southwest Florida all the time? You know, employment referrals, readiness workshops, things along those lines.
And if I could, John,
yes, Jim.
First of all, we want to thank WGCU for helping us get the word out specifically to veterans. Especially the disabled veterans, but there's a variety of service. You heard from Doug, who is a dedicated, also a veteran who has specific skills in dealing with the veteran population. But we also have a highly professional staff, not only about getting jobs, but also training. There is a tremendous amount of opportunities for individuals, both veterans and non-veterans, to get what we call skill upgrading. That means that we will pay for their going to school to make them more marketable to the job place, because the whole issue here is to help not only veterans but non-veterans getting jobs.
All right. And Doug Duggett, I wanted to take a moment here and just first have you also tell us a bit about your own experience serving in the U.S. Army. I understand you have 30 years of service with the Army as an infantryman with combat tours in both Grenada and Iraq.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I initially joined the military or the Army at the age of 17. I went active duty at the age of 18. I was an 11 Bravo. I spent some time with the, or 11 Bravo infantrymen, some time with the 82nd Airborne Division. Went to Grenada. We were on the first initials going in there. Did 6.5 years in Panama. The majority of my career was light infantry, airborne. I did some instructor time. The latter part of my 9 years, I was what's called an active guard reserve with the Florida National Guard out of the Miami area with the 53rd Infantry Brigade. So the experience, you know, my experience, 13 years of regular Army, 7 years within the reserve components doing the MVA side, and then my 9 years of active with the Florida Army National Guard gives me I have a wide range of experience, and I've only been out for about 4 years, so it's still pretty fresh. I'm able to to go from some of the older vets my age, because I'm getting there, and but still deal with the younger veterans as they're coming out, because my experience is still new.
And as far as, you know, perhaps challenges that you may have faced in your own transition from, you know, military career to civilian life, was finding employment one of those?
Yes, it was. Obviously, when you've been in the military as long as I had, you know, anything I'm going to say over 6 or 8 years, and this is strictly opinion, it becomes part of your psyche. It becomes part of your actual personality. And trying to convert from being that military guy to being that civilian guy was very difficult. And resume conversion was one of them. Speech patterns was another. I mean, people still know I'm a veteran because I still speak a certain way, but I'm not as rough on the edges as I used to be.
Right.
But those were hard to convert and hard to kind of get to the civilian sector. The one thing, now, interestingly enough, being an infantryman, I was able to have some positions that allowed me to work computers and databases and, you know, Microsoft Office and stuff. So when I started looking, that kind of helped me in the job market in the civilian sector. So I was able to bring that administrative ability to the civilian market, along with my counseling and my personnel management side into the civilian sector and become actually employable. I didn't look. I did maybe a dozen applications when I was retiring, being medically retired. I landed a job with the state as an employment security representative, and I've been pretty happy since then.
All right. And, you know, one thing I've kept reading over and over again, looking into issues related to veteran employment, is that veterans simply face a tougher job market than civilians. And I think there's a lot of interesting reasons for that. I read a news report from, this was actually several years ago, a veteran who's also a legislative advocate on behalf of Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans. And he said that we're dealing with a first generation of business leaders in America that have largely never served in the military. A generation ago, you had a job market that was more favorable to military because most of these people were, you know, we had the draft back then, and a lot of employers were potentially people who'd served in the trenches themselves. And that's simply not the case anymore. Do you find that to be true?
I would say that it's more difficult to get the message across of the veterans. Particularly with my older veterans, it's a little more difficult to try to get them across. When I have the younger veterans, they seem to be a little more, once they're done doing whatever they're doing, whether they're going to school or whatever, it's easier to get them positioned. It's easier to find employers that are willing to take that chance with them. But the older veterans is a little harder to work with as far as trying to connect them with the employers and get them rolling right. I think I'm answering your question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you touched on this a bit before regarding the, you know, the resume workshop, but is there a lot of difficulty, perhaps, in getting potential employers who don't have that military background themselves to interpret a potential job applicant's military experience and what that would translate to in the civilian workforce? Like, on the one hand, you know, you'll see a guy who was in charge of operations where he was directing hundreds of people, but all an employer might see was that, you know, he got into the service right out of high school and doesn't have a business degree. Or, you know, somebody who worked on multi-million-dollar equipment, but all they see is this person doesn't have a certificate to operate heavy machinery. I mean, how do you, I guess, is that something that you work through? And how do you help folks translate their military experience in a way that potential employers can really understand what it means in terms of that person's value and what they could add to that company?
Yeah, that's what we covered, part of what we covered today. I had a few veterans in the class today, and part of what we covered was just that. And I call them transferable skills. When you sit and look at, let's say you're using the widget machine in the military,
mm-hmm.
Okay, there's certain steps to doing the widget machine. But those steps, most of those, with the exception of maybe one or two skills, might be job-specific. Everything else is transferable. Electronic schematics, things like that, all that's transferable. Yeah, you might have done electronic schematics on the F-18 Hornet, but that can relate directly over to other electronic schematics for, like, home building and that sort of thing. There's still kind of, there's a transferableness to these things. And just, you know, when you ask, one of the problems with dealing with veterans, you ask them, what'd you do in the Army? Well, you know, I was, a medic. Okay, well, what'd you do? I did my job. That's just the way they look at it.
Right.
They just look at doing their job. They don't look at the little minor things that it takes to get there. You have to do, you know, step one to get to step two to step three to step four. So what I do is when I present resumes to them or I present a different way of thinking about their resume, I try to turn around and get them to break those steps down. And we call breaking it down Barney style, if you know Barney. Try to really get into the one, two, threes of it instead of the big picture and get into those individual tasks. Now, out of those individual tasks, which one of those are transferable to the market or to the career that you're looking at doing? And we don't say, you know, performed operator maintenance on the XMZ, you know, F-18 Hornet. You would turn around and say performed operator maintenance on complex and expensive machinery sort of thing, taking out the militarism to it and generalizing it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes. And additionally, Doug, you're also a disabled veterans outreach program specialist. Tell us about that.
Okay. We have disabled veterans outreach program specialists. There are individuals out there, and we're mandated by law, there are individuals out there that we're mandated to take care of or provide enhanced services to. There are 10 SBEs, significant barriers to employment, out there. Special disability with a 30% greater rating, homelessness, a recently separated veteran member who is in the last 12 months has been unemployed for 27 months, an offender, somebody who's been incarcerated as a veteran, lacking a high school diploma, low income, veterans 18 to 24 are a targeted group. Transitioning service members, the ones that are coming out, a veteran's family caregiver, and a veteran receiving military treatment facility treatment. These SBEs have been identified as issues that could keep a veteran from getting meaningful employment. Our job as a disabled veteran outreach program specialist is to assist the veterans in overcoming these SBEs and getting them onto a good career path to sustainable employment. It's not about getting a job, at least the way I look at it. It's not about just getting a job. You can get a job flipping burgers. It's about getting a career. Mm-hmm. Taking the interest of the veteran, taking the veteran's background, taking all these issues, helping them find a home, get a driver's license, do the things that are needed in order to become sustainable in a chosen career field. And it takes some work.
And, you know, for the clients that you're dealing with, you know, the job-seeking veterans, do you find that dealing with stigmas related to perhaps PTSD, whether or not the person even has it, can come up as a potential barrier?
Well, as an individual who has specific issues myself, I tell them not to be ashamed of what they've got or anything like that. In fact, there are some veterans, for example, federal contractors. Federal contractors are actually in a high need of, that they look for people with disabilities that are employable, you know, because they're required by law to turn around and have a certain percentage of employees that have disabilities. So I tell veterans with a disability, you know, don't be ashamed of it, because most of us understand what's going on about it. I think we've come across the stigma of PTSD, whereas when I was first diagnosed with it 20-some-odd years ago, we've come across from that being, oh, he's going to go postal on somebody, pardon me, USPS, to where he's just somebody that has, you know, might go through a little bit of depression here and there. I don't think that they find, at least from what I've seen, PTSD doesn't have the stigma that it used to have. It's still, you know, it's a condition, it's an issue, but it's not like it was years and years ago when we were first trying to figure it out. So, and it's just one of those unseen ones. I mean, if a veteran doesn't want to turn around and claim it, how are you going to know? I mean, it becomes part of the personality issue. So it's kind of a touchy subject when it comes to disabilities, but I encourage my veterans to not hide behind it, and not use it as an excuse, but use it as a as an advantage.
Well, and I know beyond cultural disconnect, there are some other barriers. Like for instance, if somebody had been a military driver, or as you mentioned before, a medic, you can't just automatically become licensed to do the same job in the private sector once you leave the military service. Would you support efforts to maybe ease transitions like that if someone was a medic during their service?
Florida is one of the, if not the most veteran-friendly state in the union. There are some laws on the book and some initiatives on the books that turn around and have the licensing and certification fees waived. For example, nursing, you can get those fees waived. I know for a fact that if you have a heavy vehicle license, driver's license in the military, and you have your driving forms and your license, and it's on your DD Form 214, within 6 months of separation, you can go to the DMV and get that transferred over to a Class A CDL. It doesn't help you with the civilian experience, but at least gets you the CDL portion. So there are some initiatives out there. I think we need to be stronger with it, absolutely. I think that's what you're asking me. I absolutely believe there needs to be a stronger push toward the certification aspects, because the military... If you're a first responder, I don't claim to be in the Air Force or the Navy, but if you're a first responder at an airfield and a military installation, you're still taught the same things that a first responder at the airfield at Fort Myers Airport is taught. Your certifications may not be state. They're actually, they're military. That makes them federal. As far as I'm concerned, there should be a bigger push turning those certifications down to a state level without having to go through the hoops that we have to go through. So I just probably stepped on a political toe or two.
John, if I could, on
sure, General.
This day, certainly we want to thank and honor the men and women who have served our country. And I think you can tell Chris or Southwest Florida through individuals like Doug Duckett do have a very dedicated staff that are dedicated to the reemployment efforts of our military. Paychecks for Paychecks is just one event which happens Thursday, and we hope that any and all vets will come to the event, meet not only employers but our staff, come on in and say hello to Doug, because there is help there. There's understanding there, and I think there's a good deal of career opportunities to be had at CareerSource Southwest Florida for our men and women who have so bravely served the country.
Well, let's just go ahead and mention now that is going to be taking place Thursday, November 12th from 9 to noon at the Ford Street Extension headquarters for CareerSource here in Fort Myers, correct?
Correct.
I wanted to touch also, Doug, on, I know a few years ago we saw the enactment of the Hire Heroes Act. In addition to providing counseling and vocational training, that was intended to provide tax incentives to potential employers who hire veterans. Do you think tax incentives for employers for hiring vets is making or could make that much of a difference?
When I was aware of that over on the employment security side before I became a BVOP, mm-hmm. It was something I utilized with my employers to get some of the veterans over there. The Hire Our Heroes program, my understanding of it, was geared toward the younger, the current era of combat veterans, if you are serving veterans, if you follow what I'm referring to, mm-hmm. Not so much the World War II veterans, the Korean veterans, and the Vietnam veterans. It was kind of a way to, they were just kind of a way to offer an incentive to the employer for current returning veterans, okay, and give them that incentive. And I had employers that liked it, that tried it, and I had employers that weren't interested in it. They were more interested in the skill sets. So, to me, tax incentives, can work if applied properly. I used them. I used them on employers to sell my veterans to them, basically to, give them a shot.
All right. So definitely you see some efficacy in those programs.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned earlier, too, Florida officials, they really build the state as the most veteran-friendly in the nation. And we see those efforts being publicized all the time. Just last week, it was announced that State Senator Chris Smith is proposing a sales tax exemption for vets to run from November 1st through December 31st. That would cover all kinds of items, things like computers, jewelry, clothing, textbooks, even recreational equipment. Do you think efforts like that kind of make what you're doing even more important, because state officials aren't just looking to make us a friendly, veteran-friendly state, but to lure more veterans from other states to come down to Florida?
Well, you know, I'm a Floridian. I'm from the Pensacola area up in Milton, Florida. I like Florida. I can't tell you no lie. I love what they do. They turn around, have continuous initiatives, okay, to, you know, show their appreciation. It's not just about the tax incentives to the employers or the tax incentives on, you know, your home. There's other things. You got the Florida Sportsman's License, which is a great package. State passes if you're disabled veteran into state parks. Little things like that mean a whole lot. To me, as a veteran who gets and applies for certain things, it means a whole lot to me to show that I'm being recognized for my service. And to try to bring those veterans into the community from out of state is also a good thing. Only about 10% of veterans actually, statistically, I'm just going off of memory here, 10 to 15% of veterans actually retire. But when we retire, there's a steady income of our retirement. With the larger percentage of medical veterans that are being medically retired with a VA connected disability or a military connected disability, it just makes sense to me to turn around and, you know, on the business side of it, turn around and try to entice them. We're enticing businesses. Why not entice the other ones out down here too, the people that would help support those businesses through their experience and not be a burden on the system?
I'm going to get just a little number heavy on you here. Just according to some data I was looking at released by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics this year, the unemployment rate for veterans who were on active duty any time since September of 2011 declined by 1.8%. That was for the year into 2014 to 7.2% overall. And then the jobless rate for all veterans for that same time period stood at 5.3%, which also was a year-over-year decline. It looks like overall, when it comes to issues relating to veterans not being able to find jobs, we're doing a better job of educating the private sector about their work and educating them and how to translate their skills.
The military has the Transition Assistance Program, which is a requirement for individuals getting out of the military currently. The Transition Assistance Program is a comprehensive program that teaches them resume writing, job hunting skills, some of the other things. It's mandatory unless they waive it. I think that's making a difference. Let's not forget, the veterans out there going to school right now. These veterans, I mean, the 9/11 GI Bill has been around for, about 6 years, enacted and working. For around 6 years, give or take, I forget exactly. But the individuals that have used that program, the 9/11 GI Bill and other educational programs, are now starting to roll into the workforce. Because when you're on the 9/11 GI Bill, part of the package is you get a stipend. And that you know, anywhere from $1,300 to $1,500 a month while you attend school full time. That stipend helps support you so you can focus on school. Now these individuals are graduating with their degrees and stuff and now becoming a viable part of the workforce. So I think that's one reason we're seeing that uptick. That's just my opinion, seeing that uptick within the employment numbers.
Mm-hmm. John, if I could, you mentioned some numbers. 5.3% for veterans. The national unemployment just came out the other day, and it's 5.2%. State of Florida is 5.2%, and I think Lee County is 5.1%. So, yeah, locally and statewide, we're doing a good job getting our veterans work or employed once they come home and are back into the workforce. There's just so much more that I think we can do, especially for our disabled veterans.
I was looking at that same U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data and looking at how it broke down employment rates among veterans who were men versus women. And, you know, both sexes are in decline, but it seems like the unemployment rate for women is just a little bit higher. Do female vets face particular barriers that maybe male vets don't?
I've seen it where female veterans are actually facing the same problems that female civilians or non-veterans would face. There are certain occupations in certain industries that are either closed off or glass ceilinged. So it makes it difficult for some female veterans to find employment within the career field that they had chosen in the military. It's just not able to transfer over because the civilian sector doesn't recognize it yet.
And just a final question here. I know this is a broad general question, but when it comes to potential employers, what advantages could they find in hiring a veteran versus someone else with no military experience in their background? I mean, regardless of the job, what does military experience, you know, add to someone's, I guess, marketability?
Yeah, well, first off, I'm going to say that one of the biggest things that a veteran has, and I don't care if the veteran did 2 years or 20 or 30, one of the biggest things veterans have is trainability. They've proven themselves to be trainable. You do not go through any basic boot camp, advanced individual training without being trainable. The military selects its individuals on an all-voluntary force now for just one of those aspects of trainability. The other aspect of it, generally speaking, is our ability to follow instructions. We have veterans, and I speak for myself, are goal-driven. We believe in accomplishing the mission, and in the absence of orders, we can take charge and still get the job done. We're trained to do that. And it doesn't matter what military occupational specialty you had, these things are ingrained. They're just ingrained into a veteran. And they may have been out for 10 years or 15 years, but they still remember when they had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning to go get their uniform on, to go do a 2-mile run, to go do these things. So we're trainable and we're reliable, I think, are probably the two nutshell words.
All right. Well, well said there. We are about out of time, but again, thank you so much, U.S. Army veteran Doug Duckett, who's also an employment security representative and a disabled veterans outreach program specialist with CareerSource Southwest Florida. Also, thank you so much to Jim Wall. He's communications director for CareerSource Southwest Florida. Great to speak with you both.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
That was a previously recorded conversation on efforts to combat veteran unemployment locally and around the state. CareerSource Southwest Florida's Paychecks for Patriots Jobs Fair takes place Thursday, November 12th from 9 to noon at their Ford Street Extension headquarters in Fort Myers. For more information, visit CareerSourceSouthwestFlorida.com. We're taking a short break, but when we return, WGCU's Topher Forges sits down with the South Florida Water Management District's new executive director, Pete Antonacci, along with district governing board member Mitch Hutchcraft, for a look at leadership in the district and future goals for Florida water resource management. That conversation's just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida.